Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. We're looking forward to today's journey together. We'll be talking about the church, its persecution, and its future. What is the future of the church as we walk through the persecution and the prosecution that we're seeing today, not just locally, not just in America, but around the globe, as we're watching the demonic, satanic battle raging, trying to undermine and tear down and destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have today with us a favorite guest of ours, Brother Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis is with us today. Pastor Davis, thank you for being here.
Praise God. We thank God for being here, Dr. Youngblood. Certainly, it's a critical time in our history today. As you said, persecution is on the rise.
Yes.
One time we read about it in the newspaper, or maybe turned it on the TV and saw it in other countries. And now it's knocking right at our front doors.
Knocking right at the door. Absolutely.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about that today. Love to hear your dialogue, your insight, your input. Do you feel that the church is being persecuted today? Do you feel that we're watching the prosecution and the persecution of our church? What is the future of the church? I'm reminded of what is found in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 and following. We'll not read all of it, but Jesus asking Peter, "Whom do you say I am?" Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said to him, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said the foundation of the church is on that declaration of faith in Jesus Christ and who he is. And then Jesus said, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," talking about this, the statement that Peter had made, his profession of faith, his trust in Jesus as being the foundation. And Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Brother Davis, I'm thankful for that. The
Amen.
Gates of hell can't prevail against it.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't mean there won't be persecution. But let me remind you, as we face the issues each and every day, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book. It is the book of truth. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am truth." And then further he says, "Thy word is truth," in John 17, 17.
Amen.
It is the truth book, Brother Davis, that I like to point to, which is called the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of Holy God. It is the book of truth, and it's the secularist George Orwell many years ago that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And I just read an article this morning and printed it out. The title of the article is "Pursuing Truth in a World of Fake News, Reflections of a Christian Journalist After 20 Years with CBN News." And it goes on to make this statement: "These past two decades have been truly momentous, and certain themes keep popping up on my radar each news story that comes my way. We're living in the middle of a daily fight between good and evil, right and wrong, truth and lies. At the heart of all of it, I perceive a spiritual battle for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. The battle is very real, and the consequences are eternal." He goes on to say, "The breaking point, the pandemic pain, the persistent prayer, and God's bigger picture," as he calls it. He goes further to say, "I've learned over the years that the battle to project God's good news is often about countering the seemingly incomprehensible evil in our world with a spiritual perspective, providing a worldview that can help others process what we're all experiencing each and every day." Then he asks the question, Brother Davis, what is truth? He says, "Truth is an increasingly rare and precious commodity in the news industry. And in recent years, objectivity in journalism has been blatantly exposed for the myth that it is. So now we're left with one question. What is truth, and where can I find it? Those who deny or ignore the spiritual side of life unintentionally obliterate the very compass by which we can actually determine true north. The world is hungry for truth. We're all sick of the lies. We're sick of the fake news. We're sick of deception. The Bible makes it clear that deception has a name. The father of lies is Satan. Likewise, the truth has a name also. It is the truth, and that is Jesus Christ. I like this article, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
He says then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The words say there's one God, and there's only one bridge between man and God, and that's the bridge, Christ Jesus. By knowing the one who is truth, we can make more sense out of the world in which we're living in today. And ladies and gentlemen, lest we recognize truth and realize that truth is Jesus Christ, it is God, God's word. Thy word is truth, Jesus said.
Amen.
But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, of the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made a very powerful statement that I encourage you to cling on to, I encourage you to memorize, I encourage you to use as your modus operandi for life, if you will, your pattern for living. He says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And may I challenge us today, ladies and gentlemen, because listen, I believe we're seeing each and every day the finger being pointed at the church, and the church is being accused of being the source of all evil, the source of all problems, the source of all difficulties in America, because right now with the so-called Wuhan China virus pandemic, we're hearing governors across America and mayors across America blame the church for being the hotspot for breeding COVID-19.
My, my.
And therefore, they're shutting churches down, closing churches, demeaning churches, prosecuting pastors. And Brother Davis, I don't know about you, but I don't mind our audience understanding. I'm uptight with it. I'm bent out of shape
Amen.
With it.
You and
I'm tired,
both.
I'm tired of it.
Amen.
I am sick and tired of seeing the secularists, the liberal, I call them the loose likes, lost liberals on the left, that somehow, some way feel that they've got to crush the church to be able to bring about the one world global order that they're looking for. And that's exactly where it's headed, ladies and gentlemen. If I can drop in a little parenthetical eschatological footnote to make you understand, that is the ultimate goal that the American leadership's wanting. That is to merge America under the United Nations with all other nations and simply blur the lines and America no longer be a sovereign nation. And to do that, they've got to remove our Bill of Rights. They've got to remove our right to keep and bear arms. They've got to remove our right for religious liberties and freedom of speech. And they're on the fast track of doing that. And in the process, we ought not just sit back in silence. We ought not to just sit back and take it. We ought to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. We ought to be salt and light. We ought to talk about some of those things during the course of this broadcast today.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I pray that you'll join in. 831-0917 is the telephone number, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the generator equipment and like Honda and others. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about landscape power equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional. They can answer all of your questions about the generator backup systems that is on the market for sale. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Some have said, where is that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag. The flagpole is 165 feet high. Has Old Glory, the American flag, flying 24/7. I don't know of anything that impresses me more, gives me a greater sense of excitement and challenge in knowing what America stands for and what that flag stands for than driving by and seeing Old Glory. Ladies and gentlemen, at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we enter into the Christmas season, I believe we need to understand that there is a movement that is underway to keep America locked down, keep America sequestered, to keep America, especially with Christians and churches and pastors, keep us hidden and silenced and hiding under the bed or in the closet. And that's what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. I believe perhaps the greatest aspect of today's global attempt for dictatorship control is the calm assurance. Listen, it's the calm assurance that we understand that God is still in control. God is on the throne. God's not sick. God's not asleep. God's not dead. God's not on a vacation. He's still in absolute total control.
Amen.
Pastor Davis, that's what excites me, is to know that regardless of what these dictator tyrants want to do or want to say or try to inculcate, God is still on the throne.
Amen. Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Because God is sovereign, because God is on the throne, because God is watching over it all, because God has not gone on vacation, this is not taking him by surprise. When I say this, I'm referring to the convoluted mess, if I can use that term, that we're in America today, with the churches being under the scrutinization of the secularists, the leftists, the AOC, and the other three, if you will, and those that are in the House and the Senate that would like to see the church crushed, the church closed, so that they can carry out their global agenda. But ladies and gentlemen, it's God that places leaders. Listen, according to my Bible, Pastor Davis, it is God that places leaders in positions of leadership.
Amen.
It is God that puts kings and presidents in office. It is God that preserves our government, and it's God that removes them.
Amen. Amen. That's Proverbs 21.
Proverbs 21.
Amen. I teach that hard. I mean, our people really need to know this,
yes,
Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
Of course, it's great to use your privilege to vote.
Yes.
But when it comes down to making the last say-so, we always say God have the last say-so in everything.
Absolutely.
But we need to know he has the first say-so and the overall say-so as well.
First and the last. He's
Amen.
The alphabet.
Amen.
And everything in between. He is the Alpha, the Omega, and all that's in between.
Amen. Amen. So when he sets one up, there's nothing we can do about it. Amen. What we need to know and understand as God's people, we need to be comfortable and content with the decision that our Father makes, because he will never make a decision that will go against us or to work against us in any kind of way, because we are his children.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
And Brother Davis, when you said that, I'm thinking also, if Sleepy Joe were to go into office, if he were to be, how would you say, coronated as president, he would actually be a usurper of the throne.
Amen.
Because as a usurper, I just read an article the other day that over 52% of the Democrats believe that the election has been stolen. And 78% of Republicans believe the election has been stolen.
Amen.
So if Joe Biden is sworn into office, he will be a usurper. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what God will do with that kind of leadership in America. I am prone to believe that God will do just as we find in his word. He sets kings up and he takes them down. He ordains different ones to be in leadership role, and he removes them. And he does so at his leisure. And so I believe that it's incumbent upon us to keep praying. I believe it's incumbent upon us to continue to pray for President Trump's victory. In fact, when I understand what's taking place in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Colorado and Wisconsin Pennsylvania and Georgia, and understand some of the things that's taking place that can absolutely reverse what seems to be the popular opinion that Joe Biden has won. But ladies and gentlemen, he hasn't won. There's still a contest. Keep in mind, it was 37 days after the election in the year 2000, and the Supreme Court ultimately rendered a decision on who was the legitimate legal president.
Amen.
And I believe that we're going to see that in this case in the 2020 election, 20 years after the fiasco of 2000. Ladies and gentlemen, from the human perspective, we see the rapid pace of the ultimate attack on the church. We're watching it. It's being sped up. Let me just explain it, Pastor Davis, this way. And some that are listening today might recall that, but the old movies, go to a movie and it wasn't why you have today electronic digital movies. It was on the big, gigantic 16-millimeter roll, the reel. And when the projectionist in the theater would start rewinding the film, it would start off slowly and slowly and slowly and slowly. And then it would start speeding up about halfway point of that reel. And then as it got to the point of that reel just about being unfurled completely, it would just absolutely go fast speed ahead. And that's what we're finding. We're finding the speeding up of time. And in these last days, Satan is on an attack as never before.
Amen.
Satan is on the attack to tear down the church, to destroy the Christian, to destroy anything that God has placed in us as faith, family, and the freedom that we have in the United States of America. But
Amen.
It's the fast track for the one world government that they're pushing for.
Amen.
For Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and for Joe Biden and the entourage that he is supposedly putting together now. And we can see some of these things taking place, Pastor. As I read it, and I'll be talking about it in one of the broadcasts, Lord willing, next week, about the Middle East and what's taking place. But someone said many years ago that if you want to know what God is doing, look at God's prophetic calendar. And the prophetic calendar, the hand of God's prophetic calendar, is always pointing on Jerusalem.
Amen.
Jerusalem. What's happened in Jerusalem? And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing that which is taking place in Israel today, the Middle East. In fact, they are dismantling the Knesset in Israel today. This will be the fourth time in 2 years that they've had a vote for putting together a government, as it's called, in Israel. We're watching that take place. And if Joe Biden becomes president, ladies and gentlemen, I believe the demonic delusion around the world brought about by the COVID-19 pandemic that's already allowed Satan to unleash his final push to destroy the Christian church and
Amen.
To destroy the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. In fact, I'm looking at an article here, ladies and gentlemen. It says, Christian bookstore forced to close, the UK, that's United Kingdom. Police arrest customers amid a COVID-19. See, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just in America, though we're feeling it because we're Americans, but it's happening around the globe where there's the persecution, the prosecution of Christians. This article says, Christian bookstore forced to close, UK police arrest customers amid COVID lockdown. Police in England have launched a COVID crackdown against a Christian bookstore tea room, arresting two men for attending a gathering despite the lockdown restrictions. Officials told the business owners to close down earlier this month and issued fines after the shopkeeper continued to operate during the second nationwide lockdown in the nation. The business posted a notice on the window indicating that it stands under the jurisdiction of common law and cited Article 61. I like this, lady. They cited Article 61 of the Magna Carta. Quote, we have a right to enter into lawful dissent if we feel we're being governed unjustly, end quote. But the owner, Chris Stella, said she isn't violating the law. Rather, she's taking a stand. She says, I'm not going doing this because I'm a rebel, she said. I don't believe what I'm doing is unlawful. I'm standing up for what is right, for what is moral, and what is godly. Stella has faced multiple fines totaling $22,700 for overlooking lockdown orders. She intended to remain open so community members struggling with mental health issues had a place to seek support and prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, that's happening on a global basis. Bob, I believe you're on the line. Go with your question and comment, please.
Yes, I was wondering if you all had an opportunity to see President Trump's last video called The Most Important Speech I've Ever Made. I watched it, and to be honest with you, it's the first time in a while I've smiled and felt good.
I watched it and was, as you said, I was excited about what he was saying, thrilled by his stand and his dogmatic position, if you can call it that. And it gave a little more, if you please, impetus to the confidence and the trust. And during the course of watching that, I was praying, Lord, just let it be so. God, give him strength, protect him, give him wisdom. And so, and I don't know if you watched the follow-up of that, but the loose likes lost liberals, the Marxist news media, the communist news media tried to disintegrate, tried to tear that apart and eviscerate it, and especially Fox News. They played segment after segment, and then after they'd play each segment of his about, I think it was 48 minutes, 45-minute long speech, they took it apart piece by piece, and where he would talk about future tense of what he would do, et cetera. They say he's not even president. He's been voted out. Joe Biden is the president. Joe Biden is president-elect, et cetera, et cetera. I was saddened with that, but should not have been shocked because Fox News has been drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, that's incredible. Do you think God has taken his hand off this country?
Well, I have said for several years, I think we're watching what I'm calling God's progressive judgment on a nation that said no to God, turned our back on God, banned the Bible, banned prayer in the public arena. I believe, yes, God is progressively judging America. And if President Trump is not victorious, if President Donald J. Trump does not get sworn in January the 20th of 21, I will then say dogmatically, yes, God is fully employed in the judgment of the United States of America.
Mm. All right. Well, we'll still have you on the radio for a while, I guess, and we appreciate everything that you're doing, Pastor.
Well, I noticed you said for a while, and you're exactly right, and maybe the listeners do not pick up the connotation of that. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if Joe Biden goes into office, what you're listening to now will have to cease and desist because the news, the broadcast networks will not be allowed to do so. They will bring back in the rights under the FCC that was under in full force with the Obama administration and with the Clinton administration and for other administrations prior to that. It's called the Fairness Doctrine. And when they bring back in the Fairness Doctrine, that means if a network would allow me to say something dogmatically on one side about one issue, they would have to offer free to airtime for someone else to counter that. The Fairness Doctrine will destroy what we're calling today the freedom of speech by way of radio and television networks. It will cease and desist and be over forever if Joe Biden goes into office. It will destroy this and other broadcasts like this where truth is talked about without fear and without favor. So, Bob, I am thankful that you called. You have a blessed day today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the church and its persecution and future. I have with me on the set today Pastor Glenn Davis from up in Georgia, the place where they had been walking on ice and walking on snow.
Amen. 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 We have not been so regretful because we were waiting for a cool snap to come.
Yes.
Basically. And I think it came at the right time. I was able to sit before my heater and keep myself warm and keep my coffee pot plugged up all day. So I thank
Amen.
God for it.
That's good. Good. Amen. Good, good. Well, there's some good points to be had when we talk about the true lockdown. That's the lockdown because of snow or ice or something like that.
Amen.
But I don't know about others. Perhaps you enjoy the snow and the ice and the cold weather, ladies and gentlemen. I am cold-natured. It gets below 70 degrees. I freeze to death. My feet freeze. My shoulders freeze. My ears freeze.
My.
I have not missed Pastor Davis. It's not denigrated for Georgia. I was born there, lived there much of my life. But I don't miss the snow and ice in central Georgia at all.
Amen.
In fact, occasionally you'll find a little snow flurry in the real, real, real cold weather some places in Florida, and people go bananas. They don't know how to drive with just a little snow flurry here in Florida. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what we're seeing with the delusion that's being brought about in America as a result of the COVID lockdowns, as a result of the Wuhan China virus and the Socialist Marxist BLM Democrat Communist Party. They've used it as a weapon. They've weaponized it to use it to destroy the hearts and the minds and the tenacity of the citizens of the United States of America. And we're watching the final switch taking place. It's like turning a light switch on or a light switch off. We're watching that. And that's the demonic delusion that I believe is in the world today. And it's brought about by the so-called pandemic that's being utilized to destroy the faith of the people in America and to close the churches. It's bad enough to see what's happening, Pastor Davis, in America with the dictatorial governors and the hapless mayors, as I call them, collectively trying to destroy the free enterprise, and the millions of lives are negatively and absolutely, in some cases, irreversibly affected by that. What most of our listeners may not understand and know, Pastor Davis, is as of last week, the number, I believe, was a little over 200,000 people in America that have died because of the lockdowns as a result of a sense of hopelessness, a sense of helplessness, and a dire sense of depression that's taken their own lives, either by way of suicide, by way of suicide with overdose, with alcohol, or with pills, or by absolutely just taking a gun to their heads as a result of it.
Yes.
In fact, I read an article just the other day, a 90-year-old woman happens to have been in Canada, but it's still applicable, a 90-year-old woman, when they notified all the citizens in Canada there was going to be a second major lockdown, she said she just could not face it, could not bear it any further, took her own life, 90-year-old woman. and we're finding a sense of hopelessness and helplessness in America today. Pastor Davis, what is the answer to that? What can we say as Christians, as pastors? How can we respond to that that will give our listeners hope and encouragement and challenge, even in the face of the dilemma, to realize that there is hope? What would you say in relationship to that?
Well, I think, Dr. Youngblood, as Christians, people of God, we need to remember the Word of God. When we go to St. John chapter 15, starting at verse number 18 is where I will go. He says in that, Brother John said, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And here's the key verse that I really want the listeners to pick up. You need to make a note of this. Amen. Verse 20, he said, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. In verse 21, but all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake.
Yes.
Simply because we are wearing his name.
Yes.
Amen. They are doing these things against us, but we need to remember the word. We have already said, and I heard you say a little bit early on in the broadcast, that Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church.
That's right.
And that makes me happy. Now, let me tell you something, people. If y'all don't want to call us today, we can have church all by ourselves. Amen. Right now. Amen. Because the Spirit of God is in the house.
Amen.
We thank and praise him on today. Amen. Because his word is truth.
Yes.
And it'll never fail.
Absolutely.
But if we can just remember the word, keep yourselves, keep your hope built up in his word.
Yes.
Amen. He'll never fail. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you.
That's right.
He said, I'll be with you always.
Amen.
Even to the end of the world. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
So no matter what the devil tries, no matter what anybody else tries, amen, God is standing right by us.
That's
and
right.
We can trust and depend on him today.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to cling on to. Is right. This doesn't mean we're to sit in silence. This doesn't mean that we're to be shoved in the closet and be mum about what is taking place. We need to be salt and light. Matthew 5. Jesus says that to us. We need to understand it. We need to understand it. We need to be salt and light. And salt, if it's not out of the shaker, it has lost its savor and has no value except to be cast out and trodden underfoot.
Amen.
And that salt is talking about the church. We are the salt. We are the light. And therefore, we need to illumine a darkened world. We need to be the one that's the preservative in a darkened world. So don't be hopeless. Don't realize it. Don't think that somehow, some way, because all of this is happening. In fact, I have some on occasion say, well, you know, with what you tell us, it is difficult to understand because it leaves us feeling hopeless. I don't want you to be hopeless. I want you to be well-informed. I want you to
Amen.
Realize what's happening.
Amen.
But at the same time, recognize that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, as the song tells us. And
Amen.
That's exactly
Amen.
True, ladies and gentlemen. It is bad enough when we see this happening, though, around the world, with the secular business, with the lockdowns of the business, with the destruction of the economic system in America, with the destruction of lives as a result of the hopelessness that is brought about because of the lockdowns and the tyrannical form of government that we're watching come into play today. But it is also good for us to understand that we're not hopeless. It is not futile. It is not something that we can simply walk away from and say we can do nothing about it. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. Says Minnesota cannot gather anyone outside their home, even with a mask and social distancing. And it goes on to talk about the new lockdown. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz announced on Wednesday a rigid month-long lockdown order that bans all social gathering of people who do not live in the same household. Even if participants wear face masks and practice social distancing, you still cannot meet in your household with more than six people. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pick up there right after the news break. We've got a one-minute news break, top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issue.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.